Your life is precious. This is it. You've got one shot at this. But is there a sense on the inside that you're capable of so much more? If so, the Missing Secret podcast is for you. The book Thinking Grow Rich has been read by over 150 million people. It's the top book in the world on success by a factor of 10. In the book, it says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives us half the secret.
When I turned 50, I figured out the full secret, the missing secret, and developed a 12-minute-a-day technique to apply it. And it caused my income to go up by 25 times over the $200,000 to $300,000 a year I was making the prior 20 years. I felt so blessed.
When John taught me the missing secret, it changed my life, doubling my income and dramatically impacting my health, relationships, and quality of life.
Today, most people are just winging life. They don't have anything pulling them forward to their desired life.
Leverage yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day. Watch what happens.
Welcome to the Missing Secret Podcast. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
Hey, and I'm John Mitchell. So here's our topic today. Upping your game on ChatGPT or whatever AI program you use. So a little background on this. As you know, I do a weekly personal growth program for the 18 head coaches here at the University of Texas and the 75 people in the athletic department. And one of the this week, I'm giving them this presentation by this girl that is an expert on AI, and she basically says that all of us are vastly underusing AI in our daily life, and that we can all up our game, but most of us are just dabbling at it. Kelly, do you buy that? Do you think that's true?
Absolutely. I am using it, but I use it extensively, but I am still only dabbling. Like, I've only barely scratched the surface of what it's capable of doing. So I'm excited to have this conversation today.
Well, and I'll bring up some things, and ultimately you're going to see that I think the ultimate way to do it is to have an expert actually come and sit down with you with your phone in their hand, and they'll show you how to do it. But today, hopefully, we'll enlighten you to some of the basics that you may not be aware of. And I think the first one is something you and I already know about, this idea that you got to be able to have a back and forth conversation with your AI program. And ChatGPT is ahead of all the other systems in this regard in terms of having an actual back and forth verbal conversation. Do you use ChatGPT mostly, or what do you use?
I use ChatGPT, and I'm just now getting into Claude. So I've just started to kind of get into Claude a little bit, but ChatGPT has been my main source for most everything until just recently.
Right. So why did you start looking into Claude?
Well, we're going to get into philosophical or a political type of thing, but I
still right ahead
to it just because of the ownership of ChatGPT versus Claude, which is Anthropic, right? Is Claude, and you know, Sam and his pals over there on ChatGPT. So I'm starting to explore Claude a little bit more based on that. But then also too, I've heard Dan Martell is kind of a mentor from afar,
right?
And he has been just talking about how he's transitioned to ChatGPT, how to do it, how he uses Claude, all of the additional things that you can do with Claude that you can't do with ChatGPT.
Right.
And so that started the exploration for me. And then once I understood to kind of the ownership of it a little bit more, and ethos, I started to think, okay, well, maybe I want to transition. But right now I am very attached to ChatGPT. It is kind of my right hand right now.
Well, you know, I think ChatGPT is the best today simply because it is more advanced at having the conversation, the back and forth conversation. And that clearly will not last too much longer. I can't believe that the other systems won't catch up with that quickly. But the power of it is you can have a live back and forth conversation with chat when you're driving to or from work, which is amazing. You know, you just, like, if you have the paid version on your phone, which costs $20 a month, and you just start the conversation, and you may talk to it about a problem you've got. You know, just hear what the problem is. Let ChatGPT weigh in on it. Another idea is to encourage ChatGPT to ask you questions as maybe you're working through a problem, because it won't naturally ask you questions, but it can be very helpful for you to give it permission to ask you questions, and then its responses are even better tuned into what you're wanting to do. Have you ever tried that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've tried that, and I've given it deeper prompts in, like, how you set it up around, like, I don't want you to just give me the, like, agree with everything I say, like, push right back. I want, you know, be challenging my ideas, assumptions, so that it doesn't just become where I'm kind of in a silo where it's just like, hey, great, you know, great idea. Let's expand on that. And then we're just expanding on an idea that's my idea, you know, when I want some, like, feedback, pushback, shoot some holes in this for me, help me understand, right, you know, this a little bit better. And so that's super helpful too, when you set it up the right way.
Well, yeah, I looked in the settings in ChatGPT, and there's a place where for that, and you can set it on be candid. But I also see that in talking to ChatGPT, you can tell it to be hard on me, to challenge me a little more. But, you know, this is a fine line. I get it that we don't want it to be too non-confrontational, but also, if we have a great idea, tell me it's a great idea. You know, I mean, how do you get to that? And I don't know. I see that it's all about the prompt. So however you set chat or whatever system you're using up is what it's going to deliver. So you can control it. But I don't always remember to tell it that, because usually, and this is the value of having conversations, you don't know where it's going to go. So you don't know when something brilliant or less than brilliant is going to come out of your mouth. And so, but total game changer, because I've gotten in this habit now of when I'm driving back from school, I have something I'm thinking about and we'll have a conversation, and boy, it will go on as long as you want to go on. And
yeah,
and I see what happens is we'll have a 5 or 10 minute conversation, then I'll think we're through, and then I'll drive 10 more minutes and I'll go, oh, you know, here's another thing that's worth talking about on the same subject. But this is, to me, this is the first step of using AI to its full potential, is having those conversations. Because what happens today with most people is they may have it help do an email, improve an email, or it may answer a question, but they're not at the stage of having conversations with it. Another thing, as it relates to what our methodology is, using ChatGPT in thinking sessions. Now, this is really good. As you follow the three-step process and you ask it a question, that is gold. Or you may be having a thinking session and you just need more information, accurate information, to further your thinking. And so, have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I use that. I'll use it oftentimes afterward, when I come up with something. And so I'm vetting an idea out, or I want to research the idea a little bit more. Or I did it just the other day with kind of something I realized I needed to add to our compensation structure and wanted to know how other firms typically, you know, handle, you know, this kind of a transaction. And, you know, so it gave me some different ideas for how to go about doing that. And then, you know, as I was talking it through and sharing additional information about the entire compensation structure, it was giving some recommendations based on how that was set up. It put some formulas and some math together for me, some equations right to help me understand how it connected. So I was able to fully, you know, kind of continue to vet that idea out, do the research, you know, and then understand it better, even from a like, oh, okay, conceptually, and then at the kind of granular level as well. Right. So, yeah, so it was, I use it all the time for stuff like that.
So as a sort of a sidebar on this, when I first taught you this technique of deep thinking two times a week, you struggled with it at first, right?
Oh, yeah, I struggled
with it. Can you explain that process? Because I'm now teaching this to MBAs, and I need to understand where people struggle. And it's funny, because this is today is at the foundation of who you are, is doing these sessions. Yeah. So tell us all sort of that process.
Yeah, I think for me, giving a little bit of context, coming from, I think one of the reasons why it was such a challenge for me was because I was not somebody who journaled. I was not somebody who, I would make lists and everything, you know, as far as organized and getting stuff out of my head. But I was not somebody who journaled or like wrote my thoughts down or really had any process for myself to process information or ideas.
Right.
You know? And so I think when you first showed me how to do that exercise and to sit down and just like free whatever is in your mind, start writing it down, you know, kind of that free flow of thought. And I don't know what it was, whether it was putting a pen to paper and it becoming then real once it got, like, I have no idea what the block was for me, but I'm like,
right,
know what I'm thinking about right now.
Right.
You know, things are going a million miles an hour, even though I saved my place and I had it done at a specific time of day that it was just for it. I would sit down and it was like I just had a block for thinking.
All right. Right.
So I think for me, one of the things that really helped was through the methodology. And we've talked before about the reticular activating system. Once my brain knew that these sessions were going to be happening at the two set times a week originally, then it was looking for, I'm like, oh, this is something we need to we need to think deeper about. And then that was one of the things that kind of helped, like, oh, okay. So for example, I'm running on the treadmill. I'm listening to a podcast. There's an idea about marketing or about something that comes up. What would have happened before was I would have thought, oh, that's a great idea. You know, and then it would have been rattling around in my head for months off and on, depending on when something prompted it to pop up again.
Right.
And that would have nothing ever would have come to pass with that idea. Now, with the methodology, what it was I would hear that idea and my brain would automatically file it to be, that's something we need to think more deeply about or look into during thinking time.
Yeah.
You know, and so then that would be where I would analyze that particular idea.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, is that something that would work for our organization? You know, if we, you know, what would the benefits of doing this be? What are some of the challenges? Does this solve any problems that we currently have?
Like, right.
It was a whole kind of process then that I would go through. So ultimately what the thinking time does for me is it gets all of these half kind of formed ideas out. And it gives me a place for them to live and for me to organize them. And like literally the amount of traction that I got in my business, I know came from these thinking sessions because I had a place for my brain to put these ideas. Like before it was recognizing in the moment, but that moment was fleeting. And then the next thing would come up and my brain would be moving on to would be distracted and move on to the next thing.
Right.
So I think for me, that reticular activating system and using the methodology and saving that time, that place for me to put those ideas. And then the other thing too was I initially had to start with some prompts, you know, like what are some constraints or where is any friction that I have right now in my day or in my business, you know, and then it would start the flow of me being able to write and think about that. And so just through the practice of repetition.
Yeah.
Of being able to do this, I just got better and better and better at it. And then for me too, like where the power is obviously getting the idea out into the head, out of my head and onto paper. But then it's also too organizing it and being able to say, okay, what actions am I going to take associated with this idea, if any, depending on kind of what I learn as a result of going through that thinking session.
Right.
And so that's that is the power of it. And I know we've talked about this a million times. The mind thrives on order. Implementing the thinking sessions for me, I do it daily now because it's so powerful for me. But it is, I had no idea that it was going to relieve stress in my life. I didn't realize how much chaos was happening inside my brain with all of the thoughts that were out that were half formed, and how powerful it would be to get them out of my head onto paper and into fully formed thoughts and ideas.
You know, you've articulated this so well that I want you and me to do a thing that we record on this, because as I teach MBAs this, you know, it always was easy for me, but I journaled. And and it's not going to be easy. You weren't the first one that had a challenge with it. But you make so many good points that we gotta do that. And one of the things that's interesting, I'm going to start doing this with some of the teams here at the University of Texas. Our women's basketball team just went to the Final Four, and I'm thinking about, because I know the coach really well, suggesting that I teach his athletes this. This technique, because at the end of the day, they have got to step back from their life and assess, how am I doing? What do I need to improve on? And that this is a process for self-evaluation. And so I really want to really up how I teach it. And you just bring it a different perspective that I think is really valuable. So we'll do that at some point.
Sounds good.
Yeah, back on AI, though, here's another use that most people are not aware of, is you can give your AI system eyes. In other words, it can use the camera on your phone. You can show it something. And this is not that hard to do. I've done it with my phone, and there's just, like on ChatGPT, there's a plus button. You just hit the plus button, and it'll engage your camera. And like the girl that was doing the presentation on all the ways that you can use ChatGPT, she said that she was in Australia and she was having seasickness. And so she goes into the pharmacy and she sees, you know, the whole aisle of stuff, and she just scans the aisle and gives it to ChatGPT, and it tells her what to get. And which, you know, amazing. She also said that, like, there was a case where somebody had like 200 golf balls on the ground, and took a picture of it and said, tell me exactly how many balls there are. I mean, so there's all sorts of things. She also talks about you can tie your system into your emails and calendar, and you can get a 3-minute morning briefing every morning, like the president does, on what's coming up today, which that might be interesting.
Yeah.
She also talks about adjusting the settings in AI. You know, we talked about making it more or less agreeable. And I think do you know any other settings that are applicable that you can think of?
Not that I'm by no means, and I'm a novice, you know, and again, I use it for I know there's so much more to it. And I know, like with Claude, like you can have it build out entire funnels and there's so much that it will do for you by just putting in some of your processes. It'll build out SOPs. It'll build out, you know, like the whole, you know, nine yards, which I know ChatGPT will do too. But, and I know I've got some colleagues that use it to reply to emails automatically. That makes me nervous. So I'm still not quite there yet. But, you know, they're using AI to sort their their emails. And if they've got resumes attached, like in our business, putting them into a certain, you know, folder and some organizational type of stuff. So there's all kinds of things that help with, you know, being more organized and treating it almost like a personal assistant.
Right, right. Yeah, it's interesting. Like she was talking about, the girl was talking about how she got ChatGPT to develop and create a whole Google AdWords program. And, you know, she just sat back and watched it do it, you know, moving the cursor on her computer. Pretty amazing. And here's another one that's interesting. So I really like my doctor. I've got a relatively new doctor in the last year or so, and she is great. And she's like 34 years old, and she is sharp as a tack. So as I've gotten to know her, she's, and of course, not too long ago, she started doing the methodology, which made me like her even more. But we've become, you know, more than just a client patient.
Yeah.
And she knows Ginge, and so it's a great relationship. And so I was talking to her, and I have a bad back that, mm-hmm. that I've had a couple of back surgeries, and it's sort of flared up lately. And so I'm looking at what the alternatives are. I'm trying to avoid surgery. But she was saying, let's put it into what's called open evidence, which is an AI platform that healthcare providers use, and it's got all the research. When you want to really see what is researched mm-hmm. and is proven to work. And so we've done that, and she gives it back to me. And so I go, okay, Heather, here's my six questions. And so she just dials those six questions in, and it answers it. And it is really effective. And I mean, that's all a doctor is doing. And so the bigger picture is, you can essentially largely be your own doctor. Now that you got for open evidence, you got to have, you know, you have to have authority to go into it. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's coming is just knowing that you're going to, especially if you can lean on your doctor a little and say, here's what I want us to do.
Yeah.
They're going to do it. They probably won't do it without your prodding, but you can tell them, let's go into open evidence. And here's the questions I want to ask. And mm-hmm. of course, the doctor will probably go, who the heck are you?
Exactly. It's like, listen, I'm paying you. You work for me. I'm advocating for my health. Yeah.
I'm an enlightened patient. Thank you.
Exactly.
But, you know, let me see if there's anything else here that is interesting. You know, I guess that's really it. But maybe one final thing that I want to talk about that's unrelated to this that I think is important. And I don't know why I have thought about this more but lately, but just think about the book, Think and Grow Rich. You know, this is what was so profound to me when I read it at 50 and realizing like 150 million people have read that book. You know, I read the book when I was 41 and thought it was a great book, but I didn't realize it's profound stature of being the top book of the world on success by a factor of 10. And so with that sort of as setup, let me tell you what the book is about in one word, and that word is clarity. It advocates that you define clarity in terms of who do you want to be, what do you want to accomplish, and how are you going to achieve your goals? And as I thought about this, that the top book of the world on success comes down to one word, I'm thinking about this, and I certainly agree with that. But I also see that people in general, on a scale of 1 to 10, are probably about a 2 or a 3 in terms of clarity. They sort of know who they want to be. They sort of know what they want to accomplish, and they sort of vaguely know how to get what they want. But the reality is nobody's going to come and figure out your life for you. It is on you. And the sooner you accept that, the better off you are. And so then it comes back to, oh, I got to create that clarity. And once you start going down that rabbit hole of clarity in the key areas of your life, it's amazing what comes to you. And I see today that our methodology really is a system for doing three things. First, it's a system for creating the clarity in each area of your life. It's a system for evolving your vision of your life. Because whatever you create in terms of your initial vision will not be 100% accurate. But so you need to evolve that vision. And then the third thing is it's a system for making the right actions happen automatically by virtue of feeding that clarity to yourself every day. But when you look at the how to be successful and you factor in the credibility of the top book of the world on success by a factor of 10, and you see that it really comes down to clarity, to me, that's truly the epiphany. And I don't know that I've ever explained it quite like that, but that is exactly what it is. But what do you think about that?
No, I mean, I think that I like how simple it is. That's for sure. And I think too, it's impossible to get where you want to go if you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's that old analogy of getting into your car, and if you don't set the where you are now, it doesn't know how to get you from point A to point B to where the destination and you want to go is.
Right.
And I think you have to have a lot of clarity around where you are now so that you know the steps that you need to take to get from point A to point B. And so, yeah, just again, we talk about how the brain works. Follicular activating system. It needs clarity. Otherwise, it's going to let in all this junk that doesn't mean anything to you because it doesn't know what to be looking
for. Yeah.
So for me, that just is major light bulb moment of really the simplicity of that book. Just again, it's about clarity. And I just to tie in the AI really quick to that, I think about and how you can utilize this now. I did this a couple of months ago. If I have an idea of who I want to be. I have an idea of, I've clearly defined my goals, but I struggle a little bit with the how piece, to get from point A to point B. That is a wonderful place where ChatGPT comes into play in terms of helping give you ideas and a roadmap to how to get from point A to point B that then you can help into your life GPS so I think what stops a lot of people from the clarity is just being overwhelmed with I don't really know if this is the right, track, or how to get what I want from where I'm at right now. And so some of these tools are wonderful in helping you gain additional clarity around maybe something you're at 30,000 foot at right now, but helping get down to the granular level so that you then are able to put that into your life GPS. So clarity, 100%.
Well, that is a great point because I think the way we all need to look at our AI co-pilot is truly as a life co-pilot and as a mentor and a coach because the challenge with getting coaches is getting a good one, but pay the money, but truly, I see that ChatGPT for me is my coach, is my mentor, and it's only going to get infinitely better from here. So, I think it's just an opportunity waiting to happen if you really apply it to your life.
Absolutely.
So, okay. Until next time, we'll see you.
Thank you for listening to the Missing Secret Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this 12-minute-a-day technique that gives you control over your life beyond what you've ever experienced before, visit themissingsecret.org. That's themissingsecret.org. Sign up for our free video that reveals the full secret of Think and Grow Rich and purchase John's book, The Missing Secret. Until next time, be the exception. Work smarter, not harder, by leveraging yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day.